You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .906 on a Monday on the West Coast, 12:06, cutting into his lunch hour. Joining me from Quantico, Chris Woodbridge. Woody, what's up? How are you?
Matt, good to hear from you. Things are well on this end.
All right. Do you know Paul Kennedy?
I certainly do know General Kennedy very well.
How do you know him?
Let's see. He was, we were battalion commanders about the same time. He was a class behind me in the School of Advanced Warfighting, and he was on the staff at 1st Marine Division during the march up to Baghdad, right about the time I was at Mars sent forward and then taken over my battalion in Iraq.
What battalion did you have in Iraq?
I had 1-7.
Where?
Initially in Al-Najaf in 2003. I took command of the battalion there in August of 03, brought him home in October of 03, and then we rotated back for OIF 2-2 in August of 04.
And where were you guys?
At that point, we're out in Al-Qaim and Husayba, right on the Syrian border, right where the Euphrates crosses into Syria.
So you relieved Matt Lopez and 3-7?
That's correct. That's correct.
All right. No, I went out there with General Kelly was out there, out in the wild, wild west. Did you get folded in to the Fallujah fight, or did you?
No, I was the division economy of force.
Okay. Right.
Which means you have more real estate and the same stuff to do, but less things to deal with.
Right. No, I remember. You know what? Talk about professional behavior. He's now a general officer. He was an SPC when I was lieutenant at the basic school, but at the time, Colonel Miller came ashore with the Mew. They
yep.
chopped up the
Lee Miller.
Right.
Yes.
They chopped up the Mew. He went out there and took his flag and was essentially the command element for RCT-7 out west. Worked with you.
Yes, he was my boss during that period of time.
No,
really
and
good man.
Yeah, no, but you talk about, you know, unselfish behavior because everybody, right? Everybody wanted, you know, everybody wants a piece of the fight, right? And so
get on the team for the big win.
right. No, I can tell you that even being in the G3, right? We carved out a slice of the division headquarters to go down to Fallujah. And, you know, and Roger Turner and I stayed in Ramadi to run, you know, there was still a fight going on in Ramadi. There was still a fight going on around out west.
Everywhere else.
That's
exactly right.
Wow. Before we get talking about the Gazette, you and I haven't done this in a while, so give me your thoughts on the whole online behavior issue in the Marine Corps. You sit at a kind of a lightning rod for reaction for the Marine Corps. Give me your thoughts on it.
You know, it's been very, I'll say, interesting and painful to observe over the last couple weeks when this really came into the public about 3 weeks ago. It was pretty interesting to me how polarizing this really became. I mean, on the one hand, you've got what I would term as a Marine and as a former commander, undefensible, near criminal behavior. That specifically meaning, what I'll call the cut and dried instances of, either surreptitiously or otherwise, acquiring, pictures of our, our female Marines and posting them out there and commenting about stuff, wholly without any permission or any sort of gray area. But there's a lot of gray area in this as well, and it seems to me that gray area of kind of, you know, new social media online behavior is being exploited by a couple of different factions. On the one hand, you've got the what I'll call flat out victim blamers. The she had it coming crowd. I'll tell you what, that is That is some damaging thinking there. And I think it's going to get rooted out slowly but surely, and maybe not ever completely. But it also has kind of fallen into the hands of some people with other agendas about the Marine Corps and about the service, who use this as leverage, frankly, against our leaders, in order to, promote other agendas and other changes, that they couldn't otherwise attack in society at large. And I'm talking, specifically about some of our members of Congress who want to, make changes to the UCMJ, who want to, advance, other social agendas. And, the only place that they really have authority to do that, is, at times within the services. So, yeah, it's been pretty dicey. The best thing I'll say about it, honestly, is, some of the commentary and feedback, that have been coming into the Gazette. There's some Marines out there who get it, and who are, not afraid to take a stand and not afraid to get their thoughts and their words out there for their fellow Marines and others, veteran Marines, out there in the community, at large to look at.
I will tell you, one of the things that I talk about is the greatest crisis in the nation is a crisis of leadership across the country. My belief. And I'd be curious to hear what you have to say, Woody. At all levels. People leading in communities, people leading, elected officials leading, and doing what's right, which is not always easy. To me, followership takes care of itself when leadership does what it's supposed to do. And so to me, I'm just curious about your thought. I think, I think the leaders of the Marine Corps need to really look hard at themselves in terms of how does something like this exist? And what do we allow, and what do we allow in the Marine Corps? Because I don't know that followership is an issue. I think leadership is. And I will tell you this. One thing that's consistently brought up to me, and you occupy a similar spot that, as I do in terms of communication and discussion and being a steward of it, is who runs the barracks these days? Is it a private residence? Do I have any right to inspect that anymore? And I've heard the answer is no. No, that's where we live. That's where we live. And you don't belong up there anymore, and we don't have a company layout for the room, and it doesn't need to get inspected every Friday morning after we do. Shoot, it used to be called a cleanup, a field day. Now it's kind of a cleanup, and whatnot. And so to me, and again, I've heard that from NCOs, I've heard it from junior officers say, hey, look, I listened to this discussion, but I don't think you understand this part of it. And if I can a la carte, so if I can go through the crucible and my life changes, then I move into the barracks and I find out, well, really, it doesn't change that much. I can still be a civilian. You know, I can still do this. I can still do that. To me, that backslides that whole thing. And so
Couldn't agree more.
Do you hear that? Is that me? Or do you hear the...
No.
Do you hear that discussion?
I hear that, honestly, routinely around Quantico from... And honestly, I hear both sides of it, from Marines at a lot of different levels. There's a balance that has to be struck there. Yes, it is where Marines live. No, it's not a private residence. Yes, Marines need a certain degree of privacy in their quarters, in their personal lives, but we're Marines 24/7, and Marines have leaders, and leaders are leading 24/7. So there's, I've heard it called intrusive leadership. I always preferred engaged leadership. You have to be professionally curious about how your Marines are living, and it's not just the Marines in the barracks. It includes those Marines living out in town, be it BQ own right, single Marines living out in town, and it extends to the families as well.
Right.
As a leader, you're And we've all heard this. You're responsible for everything the unit does and fails to do. And if you expect something to be a certain way, you need to go and check on it periodically. But you need to do that in such a way that you maintain some of that boundary of personal space and privacy, or it can become extremely draconian and look and act and sound a lot more like boot camp or OCS or TBS or even some of the formal schools, and that is not necessarily healthy either. So it's a tough balance, but the interesting part of this issue is it extends now beyond beyond the physical world.
Right.
It extends into cyberspace.
Cyberland.
Into the information domain. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, we've all seen the snarky email phrased in such a way that a person would never, ever speak that way face-to-face with somebody. We've all seen some of the behavior, particularly of younger folks, who grew up with this technology and are so comfortable with it that it's essentially a relationship tool. I don't think our most senior leaders get that. And I believe it, and I'll put myself into the category, although I'm obviously no longer wearing the cloth. When you're of a certain age, you do not inherently get this issue, and I think that was probably why it was allowed to kind of go latent and fester for a while. I think we're making a good effort. The Marine Corps' leadership is making a good effort first as leaders to better understand the problem in order to take actions to fix the problem, ranging from what I like to call good old-fashioned punish the guilty up through education and changing of the behavior and changing some thinking, too, as well.
It's interesting, this whole discussion, because I think I'm probably a lot like you in terms of I don't want to be that old Marine that says, back in the day, blah, 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 blah. But I do believe that there are certain things that can't change in the Marine Corps. And one of them is, for instance, I'll just give an example, and I'll get your thoughts, and then we'll move on to the Gazette. I remember before I got off active duty, in October of 2015. Actually, it was before. It was in the spring, and I retired in 2015. So 2015. So not that long ago. And I heard this idea of, well, it's their where they live. We don't do that anymore. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, what are you talking about? That's our barracks. It's not theirs. And they said, well, sir, I think that's changed a little bit. And I said, how could that change? Anyway, then we get this communique that all officers and staff NCOs will swing by the barracks once during the weekend. And my response was, wait a minute. Don't we have duty NCOs? What are they there for? Don't we have a battalion officer of the day? Don't we have regimental officers of the day? What the hell are they? Are they nobody anymore? And so to me, if you're not going to hold people accountable for what they do, and now you're, and again, it isn't the fact that I've got to go in there and walk through the barracks. If that was what was required, I'll do it. But it's like, what does it come to relative to leadership, supervision, and the role of the non-commissioned officer, the staff non-commissioned officer, and the people that we have there, are they simply nothing anymore?
Are they? Exactly.
And so I raised that in a staff meeting, and I got a very jaundiced look. I said, so wait a minute. So the duty NCO, well, I mean, what is he? I don't know. He's supposed to be the guy who maintains law and order, and if he needs help, he calls the officer of the day. So he doesn't do that job anymore? He sits in there and hangs out on his phone?
Exactly. Then what exactly
is he there for? And this whole discussion about, well, corporals really has no rank. He's Lance Corporal Second Award. Maybe that's what we've come to. Maybe that's what we've come to. And so anyway. All right, let's talk.
I will say I think it's harder for those young NCOs. I think it's much harder for them to strike that balance between maintaining some privacy boundary and having good, engaged, intrusive leadership. I think they often find it more difficult to strike that balance. But again, that's where more seasoned leaders come in. You teach, coach, and mentor those NCOs as well. I hear what you're saying, and it's troubling.
Right.
It's as troubling, and I think some of it, the root of it, and maybe this is a little more acute in the National Capital Region, but I think some of the root of it is this idea that, I come to work, I get to work, for PT at 06, or I got to be in the office by 07, and I put my uniform on, and I work till whenever, and maybe we PT at lunchtime, and then at, 1630, 1700, I take the uniform off, and I go live my life. And everybody does that. Leaders do that.
Right.
Officer, staff, NCOs do that.
Right.
NCOs and junior Marines do that, and so it becomes much more of a job than the service that it has traditionally been. And that's where, being a Marine 24/7, being a leader 24/7, I think starts to break down. And I think it's certainly out there in the operating forces and the fleet as well, but I think it's very, very much more pronounced in these headquarters and supporting establishment units.
My guest today is retired Marine Colonel Chris Woodbridge. We're talking about Marine Corps current events. So I would tell you, we don't have an online problem in the Marine Corps. We have a leadership problem in the Marine Corps. It's been brewing for a while in that we don't want to impact their lives. We don't want to be asses about it. Well, guess what? Small unit leadership, and again, and I just had this conversation with a Marine 10 days ago. There is no tonic that comes to you before you go to combat. You will go to combat with the discipline that you've instilled through your day-to-day workings. And if you're undisciplined and you have leaders that won't lead, then guess what's going to happen in combat? You're going to pay. And it's not.
Yep, no, you're spot on.
And it's not going to be pretty. And you ask anybody who's watched this thing migrate from peacetime to wartime, and ask the units that paid what is the common denominator in there, and you will get told a lack of discipline, which ultimately lack of discipline is smoke for a lack of leadership, because what leaders do is they instill discipline. So anyway, all right, let's talk about March Gazette. March Gazette, tell me what's the theme? What are we looking for?
March Gazette, oddly enough, and I will say it's funny the way things kind of emerge and get picked up. But as you recall, back in February, had a couple of articles kind of go viral, about the whole innovation, subject area. In March, again, an additional salvo on that. This is actually a republication of Greg Thiele's piece entitled "Our Jena Auerstadt," where he kind of lays out our failures in Iraq and Afghanistan, and points out that unless we recognize those failures, we can never do anything to really fix that. To start addressing that and to truly, truly innovate in how we move forward. So good piece there. It's picked up some traction. Not that the measure of success is whether, one of the, established think tanks or a big name author's, blog picks up your article or not, but
that certainly happens.
It certainly increases your reach. Topically, just interestingly enough, good, good article on recruiting enlisted women in the March issue by Captain Lynn Stowe. It's about the tension between quality and quantity. We have always stood by quality in our recruiting effort. But when we have artificial requirements to increase quantity, quality is at risk. It's kind of her message.
Well, it's interesting. Gerald Kennedy was just on this morning, and he talked about and one of the interesting things about linking the social media thing to boot camp, and if you talk to Kate Germano, she'll say, yeah, it there's a link, and then you pull the string, and it goes through the way she's treated as a poolee, allowed to perform less, and then the way she's recruited. We recruit males, and we recruit females coincidental, but we don't target them. And so it was real interesting to have General Kennedy on talking about that pipeline. He said, you know, Mac, what she wrote, she was right when she wrote it. We've moved beyond that, though. We target and recruit women now. He said, Marine Corps Recruiting Fan is the sponsor of NCAA wrestling. Why? And high school wrestling, USA wrestling, because we find the women that we're looking for are going to have an interest in martial arts. And so he said, we are finding more and more of these women. And he said, really, we never looked for them because our quotas as recruiters were 95% male. You know, we found women, and then, you know, then he said much of what she said is true. He said, but I think that today what you'll find is a woman who's targeted, that we're comfortable, that she's both physically and mentally where we need to be, and that those standards continue to increase. And he said, because of that, we're able to push them as poolies. They report, they achieve higher fitness tests, and we have the lowest drop rate that we've ever had in recruit training. He said, so that whole discussion, I think, is very interesting. And then it also kind of lends itself to the social media thing.
Yeah, no, I think that that reinforces the primacy of quality. Understanding what those standards are, what level of quality we're looking for in a recruit, and then targeting and actively assessing those recruits. And I also think I agree with you. I think I know where you were beginning to go. I think that in itself is a part of the fix for this corrosive environment for female Marines that really the whole Marines United issue highlights. Again, in increasing that, is making better Marines helps to fix that problem.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Give me another.
Published a piece in March in the what I call the public information line of effort for the magazine. Mr. Strobel, SES Mike Strobel, right, over at Manpower, wrote a very good informational piece on the new blended retirement system. It's a very good primer, and I would recommend that to all Marines who are in the short final phases of having to elect that make their retirement elections, mm-hmm, here, mm-hmm, and then also for leaders who have to counsel them.
Okay,
very now, very important.
Can I ask you a question, Woody?
Yeah.
Is it primer or primer?
I was taught primer in grade school.
Okay. All right. No, because I hear primer, and I thought I must be a dumbass. Is it primer?
And I know I'm supposed to be the editor, so I should be able.
Yeah, you're supposed to know, because you know what I recall is David Hackworth wrote a primer on small unit action in Vietnam, and I remember hearing it. So I'm thinking, well, Marines are saying it, so it can't be right. Is it primer? Is it primer? All right.
I'm going to get back to you on that one.
All right.
I'll tell you, I got to point out one other piece in March, and that's title is Our Historic Failure, and the author is Lance Corporal Andrew Loftins, who's a 0311 with 3rd Battalion, 7th Marines. And you and I both remember a day when infantry lance corporals and PFCs did not write articles for the Gazette. And this is actually his second published piece.
Wow.
He's an exceptional writer. He has really done his study and research, and this piece in particular attracted General Miller's attention. And I believe, although I haven't talked to the general, I believe he has been in contact with Lance Corporal Loftins to get his further thoughts on the issue and some ideas on how they might be able to fix it. The issue he brings up is that we as a service do not do an adequate job of teaching not Marine Corps history, but relevant history to our armed force, to our junior Marines. We don't essentially have any structured program to do that. And Lance Corporal Loftins makes a good argument that that we would be better if we did.
Wow, interesting. Interesting, because I think what you'll hear from the operating forces is we don't have time to do the things we're supposed to do already. So what do we drop so we can teach history?
Right.
And so, interesting. All right, Woody, can we take a break and then come back and talk about April?
You bet, absolutely.
On a Wednesday, we're doing the Marine Corps Gazette Hour. My guest is the editor and publisher and the vocabulary specialist at the Marine Corps Gazette. And so we will take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for all things Marine, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.